The first I heard was a friend of mine that plays in a band called Travis. He's from Scotland. And I hadn't heard from him in a while. He texted me. It said, "Chat Roulette, you've got me smiling," or something like that. And I thought maybe it was Chat Roulette with some French girl that he had texted me accidentally. And then everyone started saying that that was me. You know, it was 4 or 5 days. We were on tour, so it was really easy to set up then and send one back. We turned it on in the bus to see what was going on before it was all hooked up. And I was really surprised to see so many dicks, but then that becomes really not unusual after about 10 minutes, because that's about half of what you see. Mm-hmm. I guess the weirdest thing that came up was probably the guy with the horns on his head was pretty unusual. I think anyone that will actually give you a moment, speak to you, that isn't looking for one specific thing is an unusual occurrence on Chat Roulette.
Welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where comedians defend music they like, that people give them a little guff about. I am, of course, Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street. And as always, I am joined by Tommy McNamara, the Boy Who Cried Wolf of Dog Street, a.k.a. the Dog of Wolf Street, a.k.a. the Prince of Snarkness.
You could have finished that at the Boy Who Cried.
That's true. That's true. My girlfriend has the story where she proved that you cried.
Yeah, that was the whole point. Yeah.
I set up the whole thing. There was no real podcast. I just wanted to prove that Tommy cries.
Well, speaking of crying, we have a very special guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, Connor Delahanty.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
Man, Antonio really did get you on that.
That was pretty funny. It's if you guys haven't heard it, it's a great story. It's called Tommy the Bitch Boy.
And, is that what it's called?
That's what she named it. It's fucked up.
Yeah, it's called "This Guy's Supposed to Be a Man."
No, it's Latino USA, and it's called Crying, and it's a really fun little story. It's very well done. But Tommy, star of the show.
Oh yeah, wow. Yeah. So listen to that. But today we are crying because we have a roommate, Connor, who is leaving. We've been roommates for 4 years, and we're very sad about it. We're talking about Ben Folds today, so I wrote a little song about Connor leaving.
Tommy.
Play. Oh. It's going to take a while for this to pay off. Connor.
But we thought he was gone. Let's go back again. Last weekend was funny, and now the joke's wearing thin. Cause everyone knows now that every night now will be
Connor.
Last night in town.
Oh, what do you think, Connor?
I love it.
Something I wrote for you.
It really warms my heart.
What if Connor was just crying?
Put this on your fucking show. Latino.
I do love
Jesus.
That.
What's that, Connor?
I said the name of the show.
Hey,
but
get canceled on your way out of town, don't you?
I'm canceling myself. Anybody do that?
Before we move on, we should talk about Ben Folds. Was big in. He got a big viral push for. He did Chat Roulette at his shows.
Yes.
Like live, he had the video set up.
Yeah. And,
I saw. Did you ever see him do this?
I did.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's literally just musical improv. Is
right.
What he's doing. Like, it's like a musical improv show. Mm-hmm. I'll play one clip from it. Oh fuck!
Oh my gosh! There's more to my song.
How you doing there? You're looking so way back. You gotta need
is it a me? I think it's a me. Could it be your dick?
Could it be your dick?
I mean, it's a lot of dicks.
It's Did you do a chat without ever, Connor?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I mean, like, we would just, like, put it on, like, all my buddies, we would get together. And yeah. We did it maybe, like, a handful of times because we realized, like, one, no one ever really talks to you.
Yeah.
And then, two, it's mostly dicks.
Yeah, it is mostly dicks. That's what I was on it for. I mean, I didn't have my... not for the dicks.
You got what you paid for. Oh, for putting your dick out there?
No, I didn't put my dick on there. It was to, it was like to cyber or whatever. Because there was also a text version of chat roulette, but you could
That's called AIM.
No, there's also chat roulette did a feature for you. Are you the new Prince of Snarkness, Connor? Taking the title
like,
on your
he
way.
He did that at concerts, and like 13 and 14 year old girls are like in his wheelhouse. So it's like, how many times was the first?
Wait, are you talking about Ben Folds, Tommy McNamara's Bumble?
I had to call them to get a special.
That's what he means when Tommy goes, the range won't go low enough. I hear him yell that all the time.
He rated it 1 star on the App Store.
Why'd you leave the app? Too old.
Yeah, I would try to cyber on there. And then I like, because that was like a thing I did when I was like in my teens or whatever.
Yeah.
But I started pranking people where... It didn't really work out, but I thought it was funny to every time a guy was just jerking off, I'd be like, oh no, I'm coming. Now we're both gay. Nobody really liked it much, but I thought it was funny. You ended up seeing more dicks than you needed to, though. You know?
Oh, yeah. So many.
Yeah.
One of my first stand up jokes was about chat roulette.
Is that right? Oh, what was it?
It was whenever a girl's going to break up with me, I make her do it on chat roulette. Because if you want to lose me, you got to find me first. That's a bad joke.
I like that.
Chat roulette immediately was not popular in the zeitgeist.
That is so funny that it was such a short window. I tried to do a bit about that thing I just said, but like, yeah, nobody knows what the hell it is anymore.
Yeah, it was such a flash in a pan.
Yeah, and there was I think there was other sites that did. I think they quickly realized that like it's a broken system.
Well, yeah, when you make it open to everyone,
yeah.
That's not good for anything.
Nope. Like,
there's got to be some guidelines, some limitations. The only like fun thing that ever happened on chat roulette, and this isn't even that fun at all, but like between my friends and I, we like you know we were going through for like 20 minutes, no one will talk to us, but then we just got matched or whatever it was called with just another group of like 20-year-old dudes who were also just drinking beers. So then like one of us chugged a beer and then one of them chugged a beer and we were all like, yeah.
That actually sounds awesome.
I wish that some sort of ring like thing happened when that happened. Like if you chug beers at the same time as somebody on a fucking chat roulette.
7 bros.
That ain't enough.
Oh boy.
Okay, so we're talking about Ben Folds today, and this is going to be a different episode of the podcast because all three of us love Ben Folds.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And
it's great.
We know you don't fucking complain to us that why is anybody need to defend Ben Folds?
Yeah, I'm leaving town. I wanted to end on a good note. So yeah.
I actually wrote a song.
Screw you, piss freaks.
Hey,
I will say it does fit the criteria. Critics hate Ben Folds.
Right. Yes.
There is scrutiny.
Ben Folds' last album that I liked, Way to Normal, I looked it up on Pitchfork to see what it got. Can I get a guess from you guys?
Do they do it out of 10?
Out of 10. And this is now my love, by the way. I really like this
album. Do they do decimals?
They do decimals.
Yeah, they do.
3.5.
Interesting. I'm going to say 4.3.
2.7.
Wow.
For contrast, the new Lil Nas X album got a 4.1.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and they had the whole thing, and it's a pan. It's like Lil Nas X doesn't seem to like music, and that's a 4.1.
That's crazy. Wow. I mean, the Coldplay ones are classic. Like, they give them, like, threes and stuff when they're, like, the ones that people even like the first three or whatever. Pitchfork is ridiculous. That's so fun. I'm kind of surprised they even reviewed Ben Folds, to be honest.
Indeed, this is a line from it. Indeed, yeah. Sap and Smarm have been the principal currencies of America's leading piano wise guy.
Wise guy?
The mobster Ben Folds.
Who's grandpa is? You know, a wise guy.
Ugh, that sucks. Yeah, so, yeah, he does fit for that, but it's like, we know that a lot of the people who listen to this show do like him. If you hate him, that's fine. But, yeah, we're all coming into this. as people who have enjoyed him.
But just to talk about some of the criticism, a lot of the criticism is just like it's very upper class white. That's sure. who it's made by. That's who it's for.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Rock in the Suburbs is literally, the name of an album. Yeah. Annie did that cover of Bitches Ain't Shit. It's like stuff that you literally could not do that today and be popular.
So, no, it's like cringe. Some of it's a little cringeworthy.
Yeah. A line here or there.
Yeah.
We have to play it. Bitches Ain't Shit.
It's not good.
I think we'll all admit that when we heard this when we were like 13, we thought it was great.
I thought it was like the coolest thing that had ever happened.
This was my walk this way.
Finally, a white guy rapping.
I bought Adidas after this. I took off the laces. I was in.
So, and also, I am going to play the worst part.
Yeah, of course.
Where the N-word is said multiple times. And when I was remembering it, I was like, well, at least it's not Ben Folds who says it.
Yeah.
And then
he gets one in.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to start from where it's bad.
I once had a bitch named Mandy May. I used to be up in them guts like every day. The pussy was the bomb, had a nigga on sprung and was in love like a motherfucker licking the proton. The homies used to tell me that she wasn't no good, but I'm the maniac in black, Mr. Snoopy's word. So I figured niggas wouldn't trip with mine. Guess what got gaffled by one time? I'm back in the motherfucking county jail. 6 months on my chest, now it's time to bail. I gets released on a hot sunny day. My nigga DOC and my homie Dr. Dre scooped in a coop, Snoop, we got the news. Your girl was tricking while you was drinking the county blues.
What a track.
So yeah, Connor, what do you think about
that?
Yeah,
defend that.
I think it's all right.
I think it's alt right.
Yeah, that's right. It's at the time I was like, this song is so cool. Listening back, I was like, oh Jesus, this is brutal.
As Connor pointed out, there's a lot of anti-bitch invective in the Ben
Folds. Bitches Ain't Shit, which in his defense, he didn't write the song. Like they
but he did
it.
Choose to
but
cover
he chose
that.
Song. Yeah, yeah. No, it was choose. Yeah. Sometimes the song chooses you.
He knew exactly what words were in that, and he had a lot of steps where he was
that's
like,
"That's not true."
Nope, I'm gonna do it.
No, they just guessed.
Yeah. If you watch the video, he's random like, "Oh song. No."
He's like reading the paper, and he's like, "I can't believe lines ahead.
I can't believe I'm about to have to say this."
It's like, did you have to read Huck Finn in school?
Yes.
Yeah. And like in my class, we had to read aloud, and the first kid who like you could tell he stopped at a paragraph, and the teacher would be like, "You okay?" And we were all like, "Oh, we all see what he sees." What move is he gonna make?
Well, that's funny. In my class, we had the edited version where it's all the characters named the N-word.
Oh my god!
It was Indiana, baby.
Wasn't there an edited version where they made it Robot Jim?
I
heard that, or there was like a story of someone trying to like release a version like that.
That would be so funny if they just changed the character completely. And
yeah,
was
I mean that's actually an Adult Swim show.
That's the way that white people want to fix racism.
Yes. No, you're robots now. You're better than us.
Speaking of grade school shit, I forgot. Yeah. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about from last night that happened. One, I did a few shows last night, and at one of them, there was a girl up front where I said I'm from Indiana, and this girl goes like, "Woo," or whatever. Then I was like, "Where are you from?" And she was like, "Bloomington." And then I was like, "Wait, what?" And then I talked to her. We were in the same second grade class together.
What?
The same teacher and everything, same year. We just didn't know each other. It's funny how when you're kids, you can just spend a year being one of like 25 people in a room
for 8 hours a day
and never get to know somebody. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
And those are the only 20 people you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not like
you have some big social circle. Yeah.
It's not like, no, I hang out with my my bridge people.
I leave work at work.
Yeah. It's funny to think of that's like your yearbook quote. Like, yeah, it's funny. You can be in the same room as someone for and never get to know them. No one signs it.
A girl in my high school, her yearbook quote was, "I probably didn't like you."
Damn.
Oh, damn.
Damn. I took her to senior prom.
Oh, hell yeah.
That says a lot.
I saw that and I was like, good move, Kyle. Yep. I like that quote.
That's good. The other crazy thing is, so this girl's friend, I like interacted with them both during the show. Uh-huh. And then afterwards, this girl comes up and she goes, She goes, oh my God, you're like, people in Nashville are obsessed with you. And I was like, what? And then I was like, well, I have been to Nashville. She was like, have you performed there? I was like, yeah, I've done Zanies here and there. I guess the people heard about it. Mm-hmm. I guess that word spread around.
Tommy T had some hot ones.
And she goes, oh, did you like perform in like a church? And I was like, actually, I did perform in like a... Like a
it was Westboro Baptist, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm like their big
benefit.
Yeah, I performed by carrying money. A sign.
Hey, traveling, getting those people to travel to soldiers' funerals isn't free.
Someone's got to drive the bus.
So I was like, you know, that totally makes sense what she's saying, and I was like, I did perform in like this shitty like kind of venue that I think had been a
Reformed
church, a converted church, and then she was like. She was like, yeah, I can't believe this. I can't wait to tell my friends I saw Tom Segura. And I was like, I am not Tom Segura. And I was like, this all makes so much more sense. She was talking about like this giant theater that Tom Segura performed in with like pews or whatever. And I was like, he's very funny. And she was like, this is the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me. And I posted about it and she commented on it. I felt bad. Because I was like, it's not a big deal. And then I posted about it. And then she was like, you said it wasn't a big deal. But yeah, pretty crazy.
That happened to me with Tommy Lauren.
Is that right? People are obsessed with you on Breitbart.
You hate Immigrant Tribe? I'm like, yeah.
That's happened. One time I was on the same show as Casey James Salengo, and this girl came up to me after the show and was talking to me, but like 30 seconds in, I realized she thought I was Casey, which I guess is understandable. We're both tall guys.
Tall
white guys.
Lighter hair, yeah.
But
yeah.
She like just kept quoting his jokes to me, and at first I was like, yeah, that's a good joke. And then I was like, oh, she thinks I'm him.
I'll like play that along sucks. With that if I think I can get away with it, just because I don't want to have that awkward moment.
Yeah.
Where I was like, yes, that was me.
Yeah, sure. I don't mind that, but it reaches a point where it's Tom Segura.
It's so funny.
I can't pretend. Yeah. I should have gotten a picture with her and let her post it and like tag Tom Segura. Fuck, I fucked up.
Yeah, and it's
next time.
Yeah, she clearly only knows him by name.
By name, yeah. She was like, the host said your name really fast. I'm sorry. It was very. It was just funny to me. But Anthony DeVito was standing right next to me, and he saw the whole thing. It was so embarrassing. We should also do a little bit of homework here. We got a song sent to us from our friend of the show, past guest Chris Donahue. Sent us a song he wrote for us, and I've been meaning to play it. I figure this is as good a time as any, so give me just a second here.
That was nice of Chris to do.
Tom and Tommy, stand by your band, and something wrong, 'cause boys are gonna mock them, the offspring too. Modest Yahoo, Dave Matthews on F81.
Nice, that was fun.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Chris. What a good time. What a good man.
Good
what
man.
A mighty fine
what
man.
What a gesture.
Yes.
Tommy wrote a song. Chris wrote it. Why don't you write a song for the
show,
right. Tom?
Yeah.
All right, I'll write a song for you. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty con man.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a good one.
While I'm playing stuff, I might as well play Jared's thing. My goal for the show is that we just end up playing other people's voicemails for 45 minutes. I call Tommy a pedophile. We get the fuck out of here.
This just becomes like Loveline, people calling in.
As I say in stand-up, which never gets a laugh, then we can all go home to our wives. No one ever likes
one that. One of the funniest things that I tell people about this, Tommy, one time we were... I forget what part we were at. I don't know if you do this a lot, but you're about to leave and you go, okay, guys, I'm going to go warm up the car. I'll meet you downstairs when we don't have a car. Just so you could leave like a minute earlier than everyone else.
Damn, that's messed up.
Nah, that's a great life bit.
All right, so as you guys know, in addition to going to Facebook, we also go to our good friend and foe of the podcast, Jared. Every week, the owner of the beautiful Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, where our friend Caitlin Palufo will be, friend of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Go check her show out.
So funny.
What a killer.
Here are Jared's thoughts on Ben Folds.
What's up, y'all? This week's Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a rare, famous guest on, Connor Delahanty, defending Ben Folds. You know, Tom sent me this text message like, oh, like, we know he doesn't need to be defended. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I go that far. I mean, I think he's fine. It's certainly, I agree that it's not bad exactly, but it's not like he has this amazing career that you couldn't possibly pick apart. I mean, it's, he's fine. I think that he came around at a really good time and place, and Brick, certainly it made sense that that song was big. And I know he did, Saturday Night Live, and you know, it's fine. You can kind of just ignore it. It's not bad. It's just kind of boring to me, but still fine. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Hey, Jared, I've got something to say to you.
So why you gotta act like you know when you don't know? It's okay if you don't know everything. Why you gotta act like you know when you don't know?
It's fun to hear Tommy get banned from the Comedy Attic in real
Damn,
time.
Why you gotta come at Jared's got a family. That's a family man right there you're taking down.
Oh, my God. Wait, it's really funny because on the Facebook, not to go to Facebook early, but Ron Trembeth literally wrote, let me find his exact wording, but he like predicted this voicemail perfectly in a very funny way.
Very Thank exciting. You, Jared. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Jared. I think I hear what he's saying, by the way, but I do enjoy it. I think that he's fun. I think he's very talented. I don't find his music boring, but I could see how somebody
might. I think it's the opposite. I think it's very interesting. Well, because they're all like these narrative songs. It's not like, like I'm sure in Jared's mind, he'd probably put in the same categories like a Bare Naked Ladies. Where
right.
Bare Naked Ladies songs are kind of innocuous, and it's a lot of like gibberish.
I think he's just putting it into the category of bands that Josh Cox likes, and he's not to reference Josh Cox.
Love you, Josh. The
show. I found this comment. Ron Trembeth's comment, I can't wait to hear what bullshit Jared has to say. He's fine, like I get it. I feel it's a guarantee.
Damn.
While I have the...
Ron's got your number down, Jared Bear.
Who's Ron?
Happy
I don't
birthday
know
to Jared, by the way,
He's
also.
Nice
oh, it's his birthday?
It was his birthday this past week. Wow. Yeah. So happy birthday. Send Jared a nice happy birthday.
How old is he? What, like 45?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know?
He's not 45.
I can't... gauge age at all. He's got two kids. That's,
he's young,
that's about 45.
Okay, so just since he brought up Brick, I really wanted to play one more quick thing. This is the first time I ever took LSD. I also got really drunk, and unfortunately there was a keyboard at the party, and I spent like 10 minutes trying to play Brick.
What a mixture.
Well, right. Really messed up. And this is a 5-second clip of it, thanks to courtesy of Patty Moe, past guest.
Yeah, Devin, you should have documented this.
So that's me trying to play Brick.
Tommy, I'm glad you came here today. This is your intervention.
Yeah, everybody, come on in.
Every story.
Get out your letters.
Every story from Tommy these days is like, so I'm on LSD.
It's me, Tommy's hot girlfriend, for the intervention.
Tommy, your habits have made it hard for me to exist or be real. Damn, she got you.
Damn. I remember I used to be a model, and then your habits have caused me to not be real.
Ever since you started drinking, I became make-believe.
Okay.
We've had our fun.
I get it all out. I'm going to go start the car. I will say, I think it's very unfair to lump him in with Bare Naked Ladies just because he's so much more talented musically.
Yeah,
he is like one of the best piano players. Have you guys seen him live?
Yes,
I have. Like 5 or 6 times.
Shreds the piano. He literally was like ripping out chords from the piano. I saw him. He was destroying it. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, he puts on amazing. A great live show.
He's a great performer.
Where like the chat so roulette fun. Thing is like
it's
a little
lame.
Weird, but
he
has a lot of his kind of like audience participation stuff like that makes the like that show special.
Sure.
Where he's not just like playing the record.
No, it's so fun to see him. It's funny I brought up Josh Cox a minute ago because the time I saw him, I was there with Josh, and Josh was singing at full volume next to me. And it was like at IU Auditorium where there's seats and shit. And Josh is – nobody else is doing this.
Yeah, that's not a wild venue.
And it's also Ben Folds alone. Like, it's him singing. Like, mm-hmm. It's not necessary to do that. And he is just fully blasting off. And I was like, Josh, what the fuck? And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. Did I ruin your recital? And I was so mad. No, it was a very fun show. I got to hear Josh's vocals instead of Ben Folds.
Which is what you pay for.
Exactly.
The Josh Cox one. Oh, man. What's your guys' favorite Ben Folds album? Ben Folds 5 and Ben Folds both included in the mix. We're going to talk about that. I think
Songs for Silverman.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, dedicated to Adam Silver, the Silverman.
No, it's actually the soundtrack to Saving Silverman.
Oh, is it? Yeah. They all got
the
cut.
Jack Black, Steve Zahn join.
It's weird that it's a Neil Diamond-based movie, but all the songs are Ben Folds songs that have nothing to do with the plot.
Neil was very mad. They were like, no, we want your acting.
I think mine's for sure Songs for Silverman.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you guys both went pretty late in the catalog, I would say.
That's just the one that I got into first and the hardest, I think. Mm. It's tough because there's stuff scattered among all of it that I really like. Or not all of it, but a lot of it. Like, because I don't know what my favorite Ben Folds song is, even. I love Landed. I think that's way up there.
Let's
for
play it, because it's on the playlist. Yeah, yeah. And it's definitely a great song.
Yeah, let's hear... Where is that playlist? 1 second here. Yeah, that's
my favorite song on Songs for Silverman is You to Thank.
Ah, there's so many good songs here. It's hard to choose.
I also like Gracie a lot.
Gracie's amazing.
That on there.
I love Gracie. Gracie like makes you want to have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
you should do it.
Where we're still fighting, it makes you kind of skeptical.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gracie's like, oh, he's having fun now.
Yeah, he likes it. He likes it. All right, here's Landed.
My fault, and in a way I guess it was. I'm just now finding out what it was all about. Moved to the West Coast, away from everyone. She never told me that.
Song facts for this song are dumb as shit. This song is about a guy going out with a girl who is just crazy.
Oh, God.
She pulled him from his normal life and made him revolve his life around hers, and it was almost like he was not on Earth. He was just flying around with her. Now he realizes that he was not the crazy one, and he's ready to come back or, in quotes, land.
Wow.
And powerful. He's asking his friend to pick him up from the crazy life he was living because he's ready to leave that life behind.
That makes me like the song less describing those.
But that's
stories.
Not him describing it. Yeah, some dumbass.
Yeah, it's just so about a funny. Bad relationship.
Yeah. I will say, so what's... this song like meant a lot to me because it was me and my ex fiance's like our song basically, like, which is crazy.
That's bad foreshadowing.
Exactly. Yeah, she really, like, loved it. It was my alarm for a while, and then when we broke up, I was like, wait, this is exactly what this was.
Sounds like it was a wake up call.
I was with a girl who was just crazy.
It was almost like you went out on Earth.
That's when I met you, when you landed.
That's true.
I was there.
Connor came and picked me up.
Wow, that's beautiful.
You know what's funny? You said that we lived together for 4 years. Me and Connor lived together for 6 years. I think he's just moving so we're not common law married.
My heart was broke when you decided to move in with your girlfriend who you love and who is delightful.
That's true.
I was like, I want to make it official.
Hey guys, little break here to tell you about our sponsor for this week's episode. This is for our New York City listeners. Take a bite out of this Big Apple. Swifto dog walking. You've got to work. You don't have time to take your little doggy out as often as they want. You need a good dog walker. That's where our friends at Swifto come in. Swifto provides one-on-one GPS-tracked dog walks, so you know for a fact your walker isn't just hanging out in the apartment eating all your dang Fritos. You paid good money for those Fritos, and you don't want Brian from the competitor's dog walking company dipping them into your precious guacamole that you got as a gift from your friend who owns an avocado tree. Sure, you could get new guacamole, but when your friend asks how the guacamole was, you're going to say, like, oh, it was pretty good. You're going to sound like an idiot. Swifto also offers overnight stays and pickups and drop-offs in New York City. The walks or visits can range anywhere from 20 minutes up to 4 hours, and they're rated 5 stars on Yelp. That's not easy to do. They cover all of Manhattan, Astoria, and Long Island City in Queens, and most of Brooklyn. And here's where the podcast comes in, baby. If you use our promo code BAND, that's B-A-N-D, all lowercase, you're going to get your first 2 walks for free. That's right. Your dog will get his little steps in for the day with 2 free walks when you go to swifto.com, that's S-W-I-F-T-O, and put in promo code BAND, and you'll be doing me and the Mac Man a little favor, too, because we get a little piece of that pie, if you know what I'm talking about, and we're hungry boys. Swifto.com for all your dog walking needs in New York City. Promo code BAND. Back to the show.
So let's play Sentimental Guy because that's the other one from Songs for Silverman on your playlist. It's just those two from there, right?
Yeah, I did two from my three.
Damn, all right.
The three records.
And then I want to read the first paragraph from the Pitchfork review of this album that is going to make you guys very mad.
I'm already.
Oh, I can't wait.
In my mind I scribbled and erased 1,000 times like a letter. These conversations with the dead, I used to be a sentimental guy. Now I'm haunted by the left unsaid. I never thought so much could change.
High note he's about to hit.
Far away, it seemed.
Kind of hit.
Time stops, the clock keeps going.
So jazzy.
So good.
It's got a real, like, Toy Story vibe.
Yes.
Yes, it totally does. It's a great call.
By the way, Toy Story 4, great.
Great movie.
Loved it.
I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great song. I enjoy it quite a bit. I want to hear this Pitchfork shit.
It's actually
getting mad.
I have to read 2 paragraphs, but I'll do it quickly. And this is one of the snarkiest reviews I've ever read.
Yeah.
So as the Prince of Snarkness, I have to. This one they did give a 5.8, which is so generous of them from on high to give us a 5.8. All right. Back when he was five, Ben Folds five, very clever. Ben Folds made punk rock for wussies with a goofy drawl and sloppy piano fisting. SFW, Natch. Folds alternatively.
Wait, what does that mean?
Natch, naturally.
SFW, what does that mean?
He's turning sloppy piano fisting into an acronym.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah. Folds alternately threw stones and built glass houses. He'd mock a too cool coterie of nose-ringed goths and closeted ex-Cure fans. Then he let his guard down for ballads and heartbreak, and yes, the abortion that hurtled the five through fame's window like a post-Final Four student rioter's, in quotes, brick. His hipster-baiting sincerity and modest fame guaranteed a few nasty reviews, sure. Still, Folds challenged cred consciousness before crying, "Rockist was OTM." Don't understand that. Wussy, yes, but worthy. Now he starts talking about Sandra Silverman. Folds may as well have dubbed his second solo album Wuss and Wussier. Songs for Silverman doesn't mean anything anyway. This time out, Folds tries to combo meal his brat pop funnin' and balladic touchy feely, but through a genial intelligence though a genial intelligence remains, the number two is rarely funny or touching. Forget rockin' the suburbs. The new Folds can barely rock an infant to sleep, though at one point he tries. So that sucks.
I hate that so much.
And then he goes through the songs by calling them Wuss Out Number One, Wuss Out Number Two, Wuss Out Number Three.
So much.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Why does he have to be like he's a piano player. Like, fucking tough. What, it's like Danzig sitting down at a baby grand? Like, what's he measuring this against?
Who needed him, like, to not have sleeves or whatever, you know? Like, he doesn't pretend to be, like, I don't feel like he pretends to be this, like, punk, like, god or whatever. I don't know. It's annoying me. I can't find some of the songs I'm looking for. I love Give Judy My Notice, too. God damn.
Yeah.
Songs for Silverman is such a great...
It's great. My favorite... Girl. There's no songs from it, but my favorite is actually the first Ben Folds 5 album, the self-titled one. I think that
one
is
great.
Incredible.
Did you have stuff from that, right?
Is that the
nothing
with,
from that on there.
Yeah, I went with just
that's
solo
like Philosophy,
stuff.
Uncle Walter... Sports and Sports Wine, yeah.
How many Ben Folds 5? Were there two?
I think there's
Whatever and Every Man.
Four.
Which has Brick on it. That was, and then they came
Ben
back
Folds
and had
Five,
one.
Yeah, there's the unauthorized biography of Reinhold Messner.
Which has Army, mm-hmm. which is great, and Narcolepsy.
Narcolepsy's very good.
What
else
about
is on that?
Thousand,
That's on Whatever and Every Man. That's the opening song. That's a banger. Let's play that, even though it's not on the list.
Yeah,
which one
is it? Thousand
One Angry Dwarf Fan, A Thousand Smiling Faces. Something great.
Sort of gibberish.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can search.
But yeah, that shit bangs.
But I truly like the idea to pair a piano and a distorted bass. I don't think anyone had done it, but I'm sure someone has done it before, and people are shaking their heads at me, but I'd never heard it before, and I thought it was very cool.
Yeah.
Robert Sledge, great bass player.
Yeah, this is a fun song for sure.
Can't overstate how much I love that bass line.
It's fun.
It's
it's
great.
I'm getting mad because I can't find the song that I like. I can't remember the name of it because I had like a burned CD that I made myself of like my favorite Ben Folds songs. So I'm not remembering what fucking album it's on. But I had like a nice. I really like Ben Folds sad music.
Mm-hmm.
Like Give Judy My Notice is like such a great breakup song. There's another one that's called
Caring Kathy.
No, that's really not it. That one's good. It's like it's not Wounded. That's what's pissing me off.
Let's play one of the sad ones from the playlist.
Okay,
I think Luckiest is on there, right?
Luckiest, Fred Jones Part Two.
Oh, those are the two, both very sad. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the Luckiest.
many things right the first time. In fact, I am told that a lot. Now I know all the wrong turns, the stumbles and falls brought me here. And where was I before the day that I first saw your lovely face? Now I see it.
Listening to a song about the birth of a child.
Damn. And this song, Fold sings about knowing that the girl he's with is the perfect girl for him, that they are soulmates.
Wow.
Damn. Aussie fans could also hear this song in a TV ad for RSPCA Australia. Hey, Aussie fans.
That's the worst fact of all time.
The piss freaks where the water goes the other way.
So I found what I was looking for. It's not on. When I searched for it, it didn't show up. But it's on a Super Sunny Speed graphic. Is that how you say that?
What's that?
It's one of his.
It's like an EP. Yeah,
it's an EP. That it has like multiple songs of his that I love. There's always someone cooler than you is good.
Yep, I love that.
Learn
song.
To live with what you are is fucking great.
Yeah, what a
Bitches
great
Ain't
EP.
Shit is on it. Adelaide, which I really like.
Hold on. That's a fun tune.
I want to hear the beginning of Adelaide because I think it's such a good beginning to a song. And this was like me getting into the non-hits of Ben Folds for the first time. The beginning to it is so fun. Here it is.
So many songs with women's names prominently.
It's so funny. I was noticing that while I was like, there's a bunch of them. It's crazy. And some of them are back to back different girls' names.
What the fuck? Can we play it really quickly? It's from Naked Baby Photos, which is also Ben Folds 5.
And from Tommy's photo collection.
Emmeline. You know that one? Emmeline rules. It's called Emmeline.
Let me see. How do you spell Emmeline?
E-M-A.
Wait, do you Adeline or
yes, Adelaide.
Adelaide, Emmeline. For Emmeline.
This guy knows a lot of girls. Was Ben Folds Polly?
I love this song. He might be Polly. We could lose ourselves in crowds every day. Cause Emmeline, so good. Talk in time. She's not the same, that's all you can say.
Talking now, does she know what they're saying? She's got the air to float above, and I'm sinking into someone should pay. She's dear to me. Aussie fans could hear this in Kangaroo Jack.
Put me in your pouch, my
Emily. See, could anyone be loved anymore?
Let's go with keep going with Rockin' the Suburbs if we're going through the playlist, which we have to address.
The playlist
came out on September 11th, 2001.
It did, September 11th, 2001. And definitely the most memorable thing from that date. Is the emergence of Ben Folds.
Meredith Ketchel on the Facebook put that she, on the afternoon of 9/11, went and bought this album.
That is
which
crazy.
Is crazy because it happened
in after.
The morning.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Like, well aware of what happened.
Meredith saw the news and was like, ooh, no lines at the mall. Good call, Meredith.
We love Meredith. Great comic. Great artist.
Geez. Great artist.
Great person.
All right, so let's hear.
Good vibe.
We love Meredith Ketchel. Let's hear Fred Jones, part two. I'm Fred Jones.
Who? Who?
Fred sits alone at his desk in the dark. There's an awkward young shadow that waits in the hall. He has cleared all his things and he's put them in boxes. Things that remind him that life has been good. 25 years he's worked at the paper. A man's here to take him downstairs. And I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, it's time.
Mr. Jones, it's time. It's the same guy.
There was no party.
Damn.
There were no songs, cause today's just a day like the day that
right
it started. No one is left here that knows his first name, and life barrels on like a runaway train where the passengers change. They don't change. On his face, he reflects on the day.
Damn.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, they never say where he worked. It could have been like the NRA.
It was a paper.
Yeah. He booked travel for the Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah. I think he was an illustrator.
I replaced him. What's that?
I think it was a story, like, I think it was supposed to be an illustrator.
Oh, okay,
it was something
cool.
About the paper, right?
Because they talk about him going home and like drawing, and then it just not being the same.
Damn.
But I don't know. Well, it's very somber, and I like it a lot.
A lot of people are arguing in the comments on this song about whether or not it's a real person. And somebody wrote, surely about half the songs Ben has written have people's names in it, and they can't all be real.
Well, they are the songs with girls' names in it, and Don't Call Me Shirley.
Damn, Airplane. He doesn't stop. You ever heard of Airplane?
I agree with everyone. At his concert, he said that part one is the first line he read in a newspaper article that was really long and incorrect, so he wrote a song about it. Yeah, there you go.
He's like Mart Saul. Reading the newspaper and riffing on it.
Yep. He's like, so a couple of planes crashed.
We have one more Rock in the Suburbs song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is one of the songs I truly loved, and I don't know if it was... It was probably grade school or high school that I really got into this album.
Zach and Sarah.
This is such a fun one to play in a car. Just
great cruising tune.
Zach and Sarah make a porn.
Oh.
Sarah spelled without an A.
It's a comedy podcast.
On a PV amp in 1984. While Zach without a C tried out some new guitars. Sarah with no H's favorite song. La, 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 la.
Sarah was really harsh on that salesman. He was friendly. That's the only thing we know about him.
Man. This says, I remember going to music stores when I was in high school, and there was always some guy playing guitar with his poor girlfriend, while his poor girlfriend had to sit on the amp and watch his dumb ass for 2 hours.
Damn.
And I thought, man, I would never do that to my girlfriend. And that's the basis of the song. There's probably something wrong with Sarah.
I would never do that to my girlfriend. I play piano.
And I just make her lay on top in a red dress.
He was dating the girl from Schindler's List. As yeah. We know.
Yeah, that's a fun song. Good
and a
time.
Fun riff.
Hell yeah. Fine riff and a good time and good friends.
We are good, having fun.
We are good friends.
I think we only have one song left. But should we go to Facebook before or after?
That's the question. I think let's go to Facebook now.
Go to the Facebook.
Can we play low grade music? I want to play some songs from that album like quietly while we talk about the Facebook.
Go ahead and search.
Just since we won't get to talk about any of them.
Good call.
Benfold's There's 5 so subtitled many. Is so good.
There are so many songs I want to hear, and like, this is such a tough one because there's so much music I want to listen to right now.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that's why I just stayed with the solo stuff to just like...
Kind
of
streamline it.
It's a good thought.
Just to make it easier for myself.
There's so many fun songs. I mean, yeah, Narcolepsy's great. We're not even gonna listen to Brick, but I mean, you guys know it.
You guys know what happened.
Yeah, you guys get it. It's about, you know, abortion or whatever.
It's about a woman's right to choose.
This is Uncle Walter. It's a great song.
All right, so let's go to Facebook. We got a lot of comments today. People are fired up. We already read the one from Ron. Lobco writes, probably too late. You're wrong, Lobs. But at a St. Patty's party, Tommy played the piano opening for Brick over and over again for 15 minutes.
I said 10 minutes.
Wow.
Sean Wilkinson says, going to see him and Cake on tour in September, and a 19-year-old me would be so jealous of me today. I gotta tell you, buddy, I'm jealous of you today.
That's a good show.
That would be very fun. Yeah, Cake is a good time. Zach Rohde, Bloomington Man, says, I saw him do a show when it was him on the piano and an entire Philharmonic playing with him. He was funny and personable, and the music was incredible. Honestly, one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life.
I will say, I believe that, but also I have no interest in seeing the orchestra unfold. I'd rather see the rockin' Benfold
for
5,
sure.
For sure. I don't know.
I will say he does a good job at the, like, being funny between songs,
mm-hmm.
where, like, you know, he's not, like, super funny, but he's, like, he does the right amount, and it's not too much.
Yeah.
Which is how people describe me.
That's like, yeah, Tom's not very funny, but it's enough, and it, you know, it gets us to the next comic. It gives us a chance to breathe between good comics.
Shit.
But, no, I hate it when, like, musicians try too hard to be funny.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
It
I
ruins
will just
the show
be, like,
for me.
Standing there seething amongst a bunch of people laughing.
Shelby Taylor writes, I spent a week in middle school learning Brick so that I could perform it for my mom and didn't know it was about abortion. I just thought it was about some girl who was annoying.
A girl who was annoying. That's
well,
so
I mean,
funny.
It is annoying.
She's a brick. I mean, she's a brick and he's drowning slowly. I get it. You know how women drag you down.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Let's see here. Dalton Luttrell writes, my wife and I listen to a mix CD of his in the car constantly when we first started dating. It had like 20 songs, but we seem to have always listened to the same 5. He's got some great songs though. Nick LaValle writes, I took a girlfriend to see Ben Folds like 4 times in 3 different states. It's no surprise she broke up with me. Probably kept a black t-shirt too. Hey, a reference. All
right. The fourth state, a state of shock over the breakup.
Good one, Tommy.
Bad one.
Let's see here. A lot of people are just saying they saw him live.
Man,
and it was
fuck
incredible.
You, Pitchfork.
Yeah.
Fucking dorks.
Piece of shit.
2.7.
Who's the wussy now, you fucking chode?
Dang.
What's that dude's name? I'm going to go beat his ass.
I will say yeah. It's Mark with a C, which is annoying.
We should start. Mark with a C, I'm coming for
you. We should start doxing Pitchfork writers on the show. That's a good idea. Good idea, Tommy. There's one on here. There's so many, it's hard to find. Okay, so my buddy Josh Subert writes, pretty sure Ubiseer and I were blaring his albums on the way to Florida that one time. Bitches Ain't Shit. What's funny is, so before, I remember this very vividly. We were driving to Chicago for a trip, and I had just gone through a breakup where I hadn't kissed this girl ever. And listened to Bitches Ain't Shit the whole time, and I was like, had a very bad energy fueling me. And then on the way back, I was talking to this girl, and I ended up having my first kiss that night while we were listening. Wow. I was getting fired up listening to
Ben Folds. That's what you did before incels. You just listen to a song like that in the car with your boys.
That's it. And you got fired up with energy that no one should have.
You didn't kill anyone. You didn't.
But it was gross.
You didn't get jaw surgery.
Noah Savage wrote, I wrote Brick.
Damn. And he played basketball at Princeton?
Wow.
Oh, shit.
What a life, man. Noah.
Sorry, I didn't text you back last night, Noah.
Hey, if you want to get a hold of us, you write on the Facebook, and we'll talk to you through the podcast.
Air it out on the pod.
Fan fave Guy Montgomery writes, have a fun conversation, boys. Remember to look for a healthy balance of staying focused and having fun with some riffs. Aussie fans will like that.
Hey, you know what's cool? Guy Montgomery said some Stand By Your Band fans came out to his live podcast.
Amazing.
And told him ever, so that made me very happy. Yeah.
I love that. Good Hell job, yeah. Friends. Thanks for, support Guy. Support all our guests.
Probably more of our fans than the Paul Tompkins fans, I would say, who was on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
You do cast a wider net.
For sure. George Gordon, friend of the show, wrote, loved Ben Folds 5, in quotes, gimme my money back, you bitch, is a great line. Now, George, pause.
I don't know pause if it's really great.
I'm trying to reinvent pause.
They're gonna bring that up in court when he's trying to get his kids back. We saw you post. No, great line.
We know that Ben Folds has a lot of lyrics that are very fun. You decided on gimme my money back, you bitch, which out of context looks horrible. And I'm gonna be honest, in context, also not that great, but another great breakup song. Let's see here. Larry Fulford writes, longtime fan of the version of Fred Jones Part 2 he did on Zach Galifianakis' short-lived late-night show with, I think, the singer of Kate Crushed My Fucking Soul. Favorite song, Evaporated. Interesting.
Yep, good song.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's see.
Very slow.
One of the funniest characters on You're the Worst. Nice.
None of us have seen it, but I've heard it's great.
Yeah. Some.
You're the Worst. What's that?
It's an FX show.
Kelly Jeeba says some of his stuff didn't age well, but specifically Rocking the Suburbs, which I think we've covered at this point.
Tom, can I pitch you a riff?
Yeah.
You know what else didn't age well? Tommy's young girlfriends.
Yeah, I'll say it next time. I'll consider it. There's so many comments on this one. I think we're going to cut it at that. Oh, we'll read one more. Alex Stipula writes, first concert I ever saw at the now defunct Metropole in Pittsburgh. This was 2002 on Ben Folds and a Piano Tour. I bought a t-shirt and waited outside for him afterwards to see if he'd say hi. He did and signed my shirt. Whoa. Still got it. A really amazing night. Don't listen to him as much as I used to, but still love him. Hope you talk about his feud with Korn.
Wait, what?
We have to look
I didn't
that
know
up.
About this. I'm glad that we read that.
Why don't we, while we look it up, let's play the last song from the playlist.
Sure.
Pull the car over. Look it up.
So the last song on the playlist is from the last album of his I liked. He's put out some more stuff since then, but Way to Normal, I think, is great. We talked about already Pitchfork, gave it 2.7, but there's a lot of great fans. Songs on it.
A lot of good like synth on it. You put a little more production into it, and it worked.
For sure. And this song you're going to play, it's like a perfect pop song. It's got
incredible.
Regina Spektor.
It's Regina Spektor. It's so good. Yeah. Here it is. It's You Don't Know Me. So good.
I want to ask you, do you ever sit and wonder it's so strange we could be together for so long and never know, never care what goes on in the other one's head. Things I felt but I never said. You said things that I never said, so I'll say something that I should have said long.
You don't know me.
You don't
existential moment where we saw the couple in the coma, and it was, we were the cliche, but we carried on anyway. So sure, I could just close my eyes, yeah sure, trace and memorize, but can you go back once you know?
So good.
It is like, it's musically, it's kind of simple and poppy, but it is, I think it is like really good lyrically.
It's so
like
good.
I don't know, I think that is like a very true thing about
relationships. Yeah, and Regina Spektor has such a great voice.
Incredible.
It's a great duet.
It's a perfect pairing. Yeah, I wish they would do more, honestly.
I know. Yeah, it's so good. That's the thing. That's like, I've talked about it before on the show, but I'm a sucker for good lyrics. Like I love very rich lyrics, and I think that he's a master of it. Yeah. I think he's a great storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
He's great at that. I looked up this Korn shit. There's a lot here. It's very strange. I can't tell what the root of it is. So it seems like it says some context first. Korn dissed Ben Folds' band, the Ben Folds 5, in a magazine. They said they were wussies or pussies, depending on which you
wait.
Where
Korn
you read.
Writes for Pitchfork.
That's why they always get best new music. Yeah. This is really good.
In an interview, he claims that it wasn't about Korn, but there's a ton of this is it's very confusing. When I heard this, I said, what the hell is this? I'm pretty sure it's the only song on the album that has electric guitar in it. So Ben Folds did a thing. I can't tell which one struck first, because Ben Folds attacked Korn in a song on Rock in the Suburbs. There's a video in slow motion, and if you can see the words Korn sucks flashed on the screen. I thought it was funny considering the story behind it. Apparently, Korn did an interview for Spin Magazine. It's Spin Magazine. They said something shitty about Ben Folds 5. Ben thought it was awesome that he was finally mentioned in Spin Magazine, but was pretty pissed off at Korn. That's how Rock in the Suburbs came about, supposedly. In concert, I remember him saying that he really wanted to write a song called Korn Sucks, but he wrote Rock in the Suburbs instead. Apparently, he would do this thing. He goes, I used to do this big rant at the end of some gigs. The band broke into this big heavy metal thing, and I started as a joke to scream in a heavy metal falsetto. I found myself saying things like, feel my pain, I am white, feel my pain.
That is another thing about Ben Folds, is like, obviously it is like the white upper middle class kind of thing, but he also is, it seems very self-aware.
Yes,
Like a lot of it's self-deprecating. Like the song Rock in the Suburbs is very self-deprecating.
Yeah, but yeah, he was making fun of like Korn and Rage Against the Machine for like their white anger or whatever, and I guess that's what started it all.
And Zach De La Rocha, famously white from Rage Against the Machine.
Tom Morello, famously white.
So I guess that was it. That is very funny that he had a... Yeah, it's what a so feud. Funny to imagine him having a feud. Is that the whole playlist? Man,
we got it all, yeah.
What a bummer.
Any final words before we never speak to you again?
I
love you guys.
We love you,
buddy.
I'm
gonna miss you guys.
I
know all the listeners. Here's a little backstory about the pod. I'm in the background listening most of the time during the episodes. So if you ever hear little clanks and stuff, that's me trying to cook something. A sneeze in the background, that's me being allergic to their hack bullshit.
Oh, what the hell?
This started out nice.
Yeah.
So I mean, if after this episode you feel a dip,
wow.
That's the void is me.
Connor Delahanty, the void is me. The worst memoir of all time.
Man, now I got to record an album. I got the sweet title. And I'm just going to... And then I'm going to make my album cover that picture of you at that wedding, Tom. Talking
amazing.
To that lady.
People got to look this up. It's so good.
But yeah, Connor, we love you too.
Love you,
I think we're both going to give your playlist very high ratings, I would guess.
Yeah, I'd imagine. I mean, I can't imagine otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't take a big chance.
It's true.
I will say, though, I'm guessing what Tom thinks, but you don't know me. You
what
don't
the
know me at all.
Yes, I do.
I'm going to go 5.5 out of 6.
Interesting.
I think the luckiest, I liked it when I was younger, but now it is a little too sappy for me now that I'm so jaded and cynical as a 29-year-old man.
You're so jaded, and I'm the one that jaded you. Oh, oh Connor.
Yeah, what that's what
fuck?
I think of your review.
I gave it a 5.5.
I'm going to go full 6 on this
Thank
one.
You.
That's what you say to your girlfriend. God, right? Damn
it. I was going to not do it. I was going to let that one go. And I would say full 2.5.
You're the old pitchfork, huh?
That's the way to normal.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm going to go full 6. I love Ben Folds. I love you, man. So I'm, this one's padded in nostalgia, of course, but also I'm a sucker for this music. There's a bunch of shit we didn't even talk about that I think we could. I mean, Jesus Land is so good. Mm-hmm. There's a million songs that I love from him. So, yeah, I would be lying to myself, and you know, I would not be giving my honest opinion if I didn't give a 6. I do want to end the show after we do plugs and stuff with one of my favorite things. Another thing that I love from Ben Folds is how silly he can be, and like, but he's also, I mean, he's talented. I really love the song Such Great Heights from Iron and Wine, and he does a cover of it on his own where he does all the instruments, and the video
Postal
is really
Service
fun.
Postal Service, right, then?
Oh, yeah, maybe it's Postal Service, Iron and Wine. Yeah, I always forget which one's first. But anyway, yeah, Postal Service,
Hasn't
then Iron
Ben Gibbard
Wine.
Been through enough? You got to take him down. First, Zooey Deschanel takes all of his money, and then he...
Did she take his money?
I'm sure not.
Yeah, no. By the way, really quick, Ben Gibbard thing that no one's gonna like because I tweeted it. It got 2 likes and I deleted it. But one was Josh Gondelman, so that was nice. But I deleted it pretty quickly and posted it on Insta. But that that lady Williamson,
like a true coward,
Marianne Williamson yeah. kept saying that that plans aren't gonna stop Donald Trump, like love is gonna stop or whatever. But I thought I did a character that was Marianne Williamson if she was really into Death Cab. It was plans aren't gonna beat Donald Trump. Transatlanticism is gonna beat Donald Trump. So that's for nobody. Woof. And hey, give the podcast a lower 2.7. review based on just that. No, actually, rate and review the pod. I don't look at them anymore because I just can't. I don't like to do that. But get on the Patreon.
We're about to record a new Patreon with Connor.
Yeah, we're going to get a couple of those in. So check those out. And, you know, it's what is it, like $3 a month or some shit to listen to all of them. It's a good time, and we appreciate it big time. Support Connor. You got anything you want to plug, Con Man?
No.
Fuck, I gotta add the ad in. Okay, never mind that. I'll do that later.
I got one thing to plug. In September, I'm going to my friend Tony's wedding in Italy. So, I mean, if you're in the area, just come on by. I'll take you on a wine tour or something.
Ooh.
I will be at Montreal at the Just for Last Comedy Festival at the end of July doing my own show. Come out. I'd really appreciate it. It's at the Montreal Improv on the 27th, and I'm doing some other shows around there too.
Bring your fedora.
I'll also be in D.C. at the Big Hunt coming up, I think it's September, so check that out. Tom, you got anything?
Come to me and Luke Moniz's weekly show. It's been really fun lately.
So fun. I heard the last one was the best one that you guys have ever had.
The Tom Tikar co-host of the last one, so yes. We did a very fun up top.
Very fun time.
Yeah, where they said, less height is more. Take that, Luke.
Damn. All right. As always, keep it crispy, everybody. Bye. That was great.